And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another new edition of the Fans of Power podcast. I'm Tyler Baker in the Cave of Power, and Joe Amato is in the Camp Crystal Lake right now. So we hope you're ready to dig deep into another in-depth discussion on the greatest property that's ever been created.
That's right. And there's another one. This is the second greatest for me. I mean, it's a it sometimes was close growing up as a tie between Friday the 13th and Masters of the Universe. But heck, I mean, especially when you got these cool kind of like, first let's say hello in the chat room to Aaron Voorhees, Zentron, Adam Gabbert, and Zen Brown. Thank you all for joining us. But heck, check out, this is a cool prototype of a Jason Voorhees in Masters of the Universe style. I thought I'd share that with everybody. Could be a prototype. I don't know. Aaron Voorhees might know if that's a prototype. But all sculpted up and everything. I think it came out pretty good. So I thought I'd share that. It's even got an ugly mug under there that I'm working on too. So
fantastic details there. It looks like it's got part four written all over it.
And you, there you now. See, that shows. I love that shit. I love that stuff. It just shows Tyler, he knows his Friday the 13th too. He knows the part four face. So there you go, man. But, we got Grimbot here and Who Dat Whale. And thank you all for joining us. And, you know, I want to first start off with Who Dat Whale.
Okay. Also, I've got a question from Brad Collins to read on the podcast as well before we get into all the big stuff as well. So okay. Just letting you know in advance.
All right. Sounds good. But actually, this is to address Who Dat Whale, who is Michael Patnaud on Facebook. Now he.
Oh, yes. Our good buddy, Michael.
Yeah, I want to get to the exact message because I seen something. It was in one of these groups. He posted this video. It was the coolest thing. He was showing his kids, and he was showing his youngest and his oldest. And the youngest one, who is Colston, and his oldest, who is Jeremy. Colston's 3, Jeremy's 8, by the way. Colston, they're watching Masters of the Universe, and he suddenly, like, you know, took something up, and he said, "Back in power, Grayskull, I have the power." And then he aimed, like, this, whatever it was, at his big brother. And his big brother went, "Wow!" Like, he turned into Battle Cat. And then Colston got on Jeremy, and they, like, rode off. I was like, this is just the coolest damn thing. I loved it. I was like, man, see, that's the stuff you got to see. Seeing the new generations and keeping it alive. But I was like, that's a good family, too, to show that brothers, you know, getting along like that. You know, his big brother letting his little brother get on and acting like he's Battle Cat. That was pretty damn cool.
That's very cool. That's just goes to show you all this hogwash of kids. They just wouldn't get it, you know, or they don't understand it, or they couldn't appreciate muscular heroes and villains beating the hell out of each other, riding around on giant cats and robotic horses and stuff like that. Oh yeah, what do we know? It's
right.
Not like, you know, we spent, you know, a part of the decade of the 80s, you know, playing around with the stuff and watching it religiously.
Yeah, it's what we always say, like, it ain't just because, you know, like, oh, you know, we're the parents and we're showing our kids. Believe me, if a kid doesn't like something, they're going to let you know, I guaranteed. So it just shows that, yeah, let them see something adventurous and cool and can, like, bring them in and they can feel like they're part of this universe. It just shows, yes, it could still bring in any generation from any era. So, yeah, just to say, oh, that was an old 80s cartoon, the kids wouldn't like it nowadays. I think they're quite wrong with saying that.
And it's just naive people speaking out loud or talking. I'd say naive people just speaking out of their ass.
No, it is. It gets annoying. And also, Sean in the chat room, thank you for joining us. But so what did you have to say? What was your question?
Our bud from the Land Down Under, Brad Collins, sent us something right before we got started. And some people may be even wondering why we never even brought this topic up. So I guess we cannot avoid this topic, Joe.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the new Laughing Adam? Do you think this is a good way to get casuals or newbies into the Super 7 line? Or do you think it should have been, or the effort should have been used into another figure we're already waiting on? I kind of agree with the latter, but anyway, catch you guys later. Have a great show. It's not really an issue of the effort being put into another figure, because I think at this point we all know if you can reuse a lot of the same molds and get something else out of it, I mean, that's what He-Man's built upon. But the Laughing Adam, all it does is continue to support the lack of maturity and masculinity that continues to be taken away from Master of the Universe when, you know, a moron on YouTube decides to take a piece of animation of Adam laughing and putting rainbows and stars and all the other bullshit on there. Excuse me, kids. And just putting it on there and letting it loop for 10 hours on YouTube, and then people come across it, laugh, and make fun of it, and think, oh, yeah, I remember He-Man. I never knew it was this silly and feminine. So I don't like it. If people want to buy it, fine. But, no, I think it's a terrible idea. And not, it's not wasted sculpts. It's just continuing to push something that we fight against on this podcast, which is cutting the balls off He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. That's what that toy did. You know, I know why Super 7 did it, because it's a popular thing on YouTube. But me personally, it doesn't do any favors for hardcore fans or casual fans. It's just continuing to push that very emasculating vibe that's been going around circling He-Man for well, it shouldn't have been happening to begin with. And that bothers me the most. And this just kind of hammers it home a little bit. I know that was not Super 7's intention, but to me, I just feel like if people buy it and think it's great, it's just like, okay, then you think it's funny to continue to make fun of He-Man and present him in this, or Adam, because I've never seen Adam as anything more than it's the alter ego of He-Man. He's a badass. I like Adam. I don't like seeing him portrayed in anything less than that, and just doesn't do us any favors, I think.
No, as for the figure itself, when he's saying, you know, should they used or done another, I mean, when it's exclusives like this, it's like I wouldn't want a brand new, unique figure put into a spot where I'm like, oh, God forbid I ain't going to get it. Because I think, and this isn't me knowing any inside information, because I told you, I do not like spoilers or people telling me anything, but I can almost guarantee they're going to release a regular Adam with a regular Adam head. This is just an exclusive. So I guarantee you're going to get the Filmation Adam with a regular Adam face, not the laughing face. So this one, it's a cool exclusive. Now, if it comes around San Diego Comic-Con and I'm wrong, you tell me, say, Joe, you messed up. You predicted wrong. But I would say it's a no-brainer. So that's why. I mean, if it's something.
Well, I mean, I know they're taking pre-orders for right now, so I don't think it's a – I mean, I don't know. The minute I saw it, I'm like, I'm not interested in that anyway.
Yeah, and like I said, it's
and if it was just straight up Filmation style laughing at it, that's one thing. But it's clearly presented as the YouTube parody that's been, you know, floating around on YouTube for years. So that's why I'm like, it's not. I don't feel like it's really done as a Filmation figure that would go on the shelf with these. It's presented as a parody, a spoof, and it's.
If it's something somebody wants, they can get it.
Yes, but
it's
not we're not here. I'm not. Yeah, we're not here to denounce anybody from buying it or Super 7. I just feel like it's just it's continuing to send the wrong message about He-Man, because I don't like laughing about He-Man. I never have. You know, that's not why we do this podcast. We do this podcast to promote that it's balls to wall, kick ass action, beautiful women, you know, and just heroes you would want to be and fight and. You know, you want to see Skeletor, Hawk, and King S being presented as badasses, and just stuff like this. I just, you know, it's like, God, will it ever end? Will people stop celebrating all of this very, very just, you know, dainty portrayal of He-Man and Prince Adam? I can't stand it, man. But
the only thing is, like, when the stuff comes up, then you start seeing in a lot of groups of the hate and the anger and people arguing, which I never like seeing, which, you know, it brings me to another thing. We've seen the image of She-Ra from the new Netflix, you know, She-Ra and the Princess of Power. Now, that came up, and all I did was I took the picture that, you know, Dusan, he showed me, and James Etok, I think, seen it, and Yuka seen it, and, you know, a lot of people in the group are seeing it. And so I just put it on my wall, and I said, what do you guys think? At no time did I insult that picture at all or say anything negative. I said, what did you think? And it turned into more of, God, I hate seeing when it happens in the community. It's the nasty things that were being said, not only about the design of the She-Ra, you know, I mean, about She-Ra in general, but then, you know, fans who liked it and then insulting fans like, you guys are spewing such nasty hate. It's like, you know, that's not needed. If you don't like the look of anything, It's your opinion. I mean, it's your right to say, I don't like it. And just like you said, if you love it, you love it. But don't start attacking people and calling people out of their names and saying stuff that is just so, it's gutless in a way to just say the things to people when you know you're not going to see them. But also, it's vile. It's disgusting. It's just so mean and hate-filled. And it's a shame. It's like, I almost wanted to just delete my picture because I was like, I'm tired of seeing all this just negativity. And it's both ways. People, both sides arguing to those who liked it and to those who hated it. They were just really spewing some venom. And so I did something, okay, just to talk about this, like with this figure here. As doing customs, I have this thing where it's like, I look at things differently, Tyler. It's with like an artistic eye, like, I want to add an extra detail just to highlight a part of Jason's face or any figure I want that maybe you might not see on a lot of figures that are done. Well, the same thing can be when I'm looking at art. I looked at that She-Ra, and unlike a lot of the people were saying, man, where are tits? She should have big tits. I'm like, oh God, she's supposed to be. This is not a woman She-Ra. This is a young She-Ra. I'm not even envisioning seeing that. But what got me was something a lot of people weren't mentioning, her tiara. Her tiara is so short, it like just comes to the head and goes up, and then you see her ears, which when I know there's characters with long hair, ears for me have always been a weird issue. Like the Ultimate Warrior, my favorite wrestler of all time, that lunatic with all that hair and running in the ring. You never really seen his ears. And there was this time when the Warrior kind of had his long hair in the back and kind of put it up to the sides, and I seen his ears, I was like, oh, I don't like it. It's just a thing with my eyes of seeing things. So the She-Ra, I was like, man, I wish they could just take the tiara, make it a little longer to go to her face and cover her ears. And I have never been a fan of just the line for a mouth. Drives me insane. And I mean for female cartoon comic characters and male. I hate a line. I want to see lips. I'm not saying lipstick. I'm saying lips. And that's for guys or girls, however you want to put them in there. So I just put simply flesh pink colored lips because I got some big lips. People seen me online where I showed my mouth. I got some colorful lips, so guys have them too. So I just put a little pink there and did one little slash on the corner of her eye to accentuate her eye detail to make it pop. I had this one person attack me saying that I was basically sexist. Like, why are you trying to whore her up and give her all these, women details and makeup? It's not needed. I was like, I at no point said anything about adding makeup. I
Was
put
this a
lip.
guy or a girl saying that?
That was a girl, and another girl came at one time, but I'll say along the same lines, there was plenty of women that
Oh,
were defending.
almighty.
Well, there was plenty of women that were defending and liking what I said too, but it was just a female in particular, and I had to keep going back and forth to let her understand, I'm not putting lipstick, I'm not whoring her face up, I'm not putting purple eyeshadow on her eyes, nothing. I'm doing stuff as my artistic eye, what I'd want to see that made the face pop. So after all this back and forth, which Dushin actually seen what I was going through, she finally understood it. But I was like, why would you personally attack me like that when didn't you read what I said? I made the post nice and clear. But that's what it led to was first I'm getting attacked, but not only that, I'm sure you've seen the horrible, atrocious stuff that people were saying about Sheeran to the fans, like, guys, this is just it's a cartoon property we love and be passionate about. But when you start getting into that line of attacking, that's way too far. It's crossing the line. But you go ahead, Tyler.
I pretty much avoided most of the comments. What Joe when Joe posted, I took a few glances occasionally, and what Joe's work looks a hell of a lot better than what we were presented with, because for God's sakes, it's a woman. She-Ra is a young woman. She's not an adult woman, but she is a young woman. She should look like a woman. It's not sexist to make a female character look like a woman. So for Joe to add a little extra details to make the this what's I guess considered the design this new series is going for look not look so damn flat and uninspiring, not unique. It just looks, I mean, very, very white bread, to quote
It
Joe.
is.
Joe is using
Yeah, great
it's
point.
it there's
Yeah.
it does it doesn't pop, no pun intended. It looks lazy and uninspired. Adding a few extra details to make, I mean, because look, people need to stop pretending as if like the She-Ra character was not a beautiful woman. I mean, I had a crush on the cartoon character herself as a child, because she was a very pretty woman, along with Frosta and Glimmer and Cast a Spell, all of them beautiful women. Why is that a bad thing? Why is it sexist to draw a female character? I mean, would it be all be all right if Gail Gadot or Gadot, I don't know how you pronounce your last name, would play Wonder Woman? I mean, why don't we like downplay her and make sure she doesn't look beautiful on screen with the rest of the women on Themyscira? You know, how come? Why don't we just remove all their makeup too? Because it's wrong to make women look beautiful, or a women have the right to wear whatever they like to accentuate their natural beauty and things like that. It's not sexist to enjoy looking at a beautiful woman, and the same thing with the cartoon. And to touch on what Joe said, you know, people like James E. Talk has been attacked and stuff like that. All right, look, this nonsense. I mean, everybody, male or female, you know, whatever your decision is on what we've seen so far, if you don't like it and you hate it, you have every right to feel that way. If you love it and you can't wait to see it, you have every right to feel that way. And if you're just like, you know what, I'm not too impressed, but I'll give it a fair shot, you have that right to feel that way too. So people on the this one side don't have the right to attack people and say they're just a bunch of stubborn old men stuck in the 80s and can't get past new this and new that. Oh, you guys are so irrational and narrow-minded and blah, blah, blah. You people need to shut the hell up. And the people over here need to stop attacking people and calling them traitors and saying that, you know, we're all, they're all out of their mind for giving it a fair shot. We're all entitled to feel the same way. Me, no, I'm not impressed by it at all. You know, when the series comes out, maybe I'll give it a shot. But, you know, I'm it doesn't look too good. I mean, hell, if we're thinking this way about She-Ra, just imagine what Horax can look like. Could be proven completely wrong on that one. But I don't feel too good about it. But I also don't feel the need to make my opinion made public on social. I'll just say it here because I'm saying I'm not impressed by it. But I certainly don't look down upon anybody who thinks it's a horrible idea. And I definitely don't look down upon anybody who thinks, you know what, I'll give it a fair shot. It's not, doesn't look too bad. I'm happy with both sides here, but don't tell me I can't feel the same way I'm feeling and label me as some sort of, you know, oh, you're just, all right, grandpa, you're stuck in the 80s. You know, it's like, you do remember here, they're making a cartoon based off a property that men and women of our age from the 30s to the 40s have kept alive. It's relevant today because of people our age. So to take away this idea that we're not supposed to be upset over something that we ourselves have kept alive on the internet for years and years and years through various websites and YouTube videos and fan art and customizations and just doing everything I can to keep She-Ra and He-Man alive, that people who grew up with it don't have the right to say, you know what, we'd like to see something with a mild upgrade, but give us what we're familiar with. You know, I mean, NYP did a lot of good things, got a lot of things wrong too as well. But overall, the visual aspect of it, they got right. You know, and it's important to enjoy what you're looking at. It's a, which is why Thundercats Roar was an abomination. And I think everybody at Warner Bros. And Cartoon Network felt the wrath of fans because they didn't like how it looked visually. The fans of She-Ra, I'm a fan of She-Ra. We're all entitled to feel that way. Just don't attack anybody. And you know what? And don't tell us that, you know, you're stupid for that way and vice versa. We all, you know, we can all be adults about it. Men and women, we can all, you know, we can all be passionate about it, but no death threats. You got, if you do, I mean, the death threats, like, you know what, you have no say. If you're going to go that far, you don't count. I'm telling you that right now. And don't be telling people who disagree with it that we're just stuck in the past. That's nonsense, because why should we want to keep this alive, what we've always loved, to just take it away just because they didn't like, all right, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of looping myself here. I just feel like we're all entitled to say whatever the hell we want, but come on, people.
But just stop, don't attacking
both sides. Yeah, both sides. Right. I just want to emphasize that. Both sides don't have the damn right to attack each other.
I know. Absolutely agreed. I mean, because we, like I said, we've done this podcast. It's almost 3 years now, and there's been things we don't like. And we'll say if we like something or, you know, love something, love or hate. But we won't go, like you said, crossing the line where it's attacking and being vile. Like, I mean, when somebody's calling James a traitor because he likes the design of the new She-Ra, like, he's a traitor to Filmation. I was like, are you insane? Do you know who you're talking about? The guy that basically, he showed us the Filmation Bible and for the One Hero Bible and then Hero in the Land of Legend and all this stuff in the years that he's put into this. I was like, And he's a traitor? I was like, okay, so does that mean because Tyler is a big fan of New Adventures, it took a while for me to get into it, but because Tyler likes New Adventures, does that mean he's a traitor to Filmation? And also, if he liked anything from NYP and vice versa, it's like, you can love or hate anything, but the attacking is, it's ridiculous. It's like what I told Tyler earlier. You know, another aspect when it comes to the Friday the 13th universe, you know, like the licensing and the rights to that is kind of in limbo now because of Victor Miller and with Sean Cunningham. There's some things going on, but then fans, you talk about taking things to another level. They've been sending Victor Miller messages and letters like, go kill yourself and I want to kill you. You should die. And I'm like, are you people absolutely out of your minds? You don't do that. It's like, and when you do that, there's something in your life that needs adjusting. Because when you're taking your fandom to that level, I can't explain what you're really enjoying out of it. Then when you're taking it to that extreme, it's like you need to prioritize what you're doing in your life. Just like we said, there's boundaries. Just watch those boundaries and just don't cross the line on some things. And we can all love and respect each other, whether we love and hate, because it's good having discussions. We always said we love back. Hell, how many times have me and Tyler, sometimes he likes something in the cartoon or the comic and vice versa, and I don't. We give each other crap, but you know what? It's a debate.
We're not
it's
threatening fun. To kill each other, you know? I tell you that right now. It's, you know, I mean, people have slammed the 87 movie. I don't have no intentions of causing anybody physical harm or attack them verbally through social media because they think the movie sucked or whatever. I just is like, you know what, you don't get it. I don't have any time for you then. Or you don't like New Adventures, you're entitled to feel that way too, but don't attack me because I see something that you don't. I'm not going to attack you for slamming karate and the look of He-Man or Vizar or whatever. And you know, for people that attack James,
wow,
you know, look, you gotta remember too. And it's not like James is sitting in and watching all the footage. James hasn't seen anything. All he's seen is what we've seen. He's had a look at the scripts and the story arc that's going. So all he knows is what's been put on paper, you know, storyline-wise. He hasn't seen animation. He doesn't know what the voices sound like. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, the voices may flat out suck, and we may all feel the same way. You know, the cast they've got, whoever's playing Hordak or Seahawk or She-Ra or Glimmer, we may hear their voices and just like, oh my God, like maybe the animation's not too bad, but the voices are atrocious. So, you know, it's not fair to attack James, well, pretty much on anything for that matter. But still, you know, none of us have seen footage. You know, so it's the stories may be good, but the animation and the voice acting may kill it. So
you never know.
We don't know. But, you know, it's all right for fans to feel like, you know what, I'm not holding my breath. I don't think it looks very good. And it's perfectly fine, too. So, you know what, I'm fine with this. But
no,
I do feel that Joe's added details made that She-Ra look a lot better and stand out. Because what's wrong with having a beautiful She-Ra? I mean, it looks so flat and just...
And that's it, what you said.
It had no emotion to it. There's no emotional
right.
content to the picture until Joe added those details. So,
right. And it was two, maybe three. And I do thank you for that, Tyler, but it was basically three details. It was an addition of adding the lower part to the tiara. I put flesh-colored pink lips like human beings, not lipstick. And then I just put a simple
Even if you put lipstick on there, I mean, even so, I mean, the Filmation cartoon, all the women had a shade of what looked like lipstick on their mouths because it's something that women do, for God's sake. Why are we acting as if, like, you know, women today don't wear lipstick? We are like stuck in the 1970s.
You know what's funny? You know how my head, I usually am trying to think 100 steps ahead before I do something. I like I said, I was putting the lips, but I was like, I do not want to make these red because I know I'm going to get attacked by people saying, why are you putting lipstick on the young girl? I just knew it would happen. So I made sure I just put lips in general because that was my first main focus, was just lips. But then I was still getting attacked by people saying, it's lipstick. I was like, no, it's lips like my lips. But it's like you said earlier, I was looking at a flat face. And I just hate faces, men and women's faces drawn in cartoon comics that are emotionless, no expression into the face, and with that line for a mouth, I've always hated it. Some people love it, some people love that just line for a mouth. Me, I've never liked it, so I was shown what I liked. I like lips, so I mean, I'm supposed to go.
Well,
I
still like
lips.
To see, I like to see that she were done with some lipstick on it because I like looking at beautiful women, and you know, I was enjoyed looking at She-Ra and her cast of, you know, female companions and stuff like that too. So I say embrace it and go with it. So
yeah, well,
I don't see why it's wrong to appreciate looking at it at an attractive. And yes, this is a cartoon, but you know, that's the character. I mean, you know, are you going to do this to the rest of, like, I mean, all the female superheroes from Marvel and DC? You're going to downplay that this shouldn't be drawn and colored with, you know, attractive lips, pretty eyes, flowing hair, whether or short hair, but their beauty is accentuated a lot. Like, why is this, why should this be any different? Why is it people feel that, you know what? I mean, and I get, of course, in this day and age too, I feel like you have four or five people complain, oh, this is sexist. Oh, pull it down. You know, I just felt like I think it's just getting out of control with a few people complaining, even if a few people happens to be a few thousand, as opposed to many more thousand who are perfectly fine with it. I just think, God, you people, you know, I don't know where the line needs to be drawn. I feel like it should have been drawn a long time ago with this incessant squawking of.
It's like no matter
you know,
what you do,
it ain't like she's being treated a female character on Game of Thrones, which I feel like people have gone ridiculously open arms over that kind of nonsense too. I just, they're getting too damn touchy about it. There's nothing wrong with drawing She-Ra with some makeup look on her. It just was, hell, young girls instinctively at early ages are wanting to put makeup on. You know, they sell makeup kits for young girls to purchase at your local Dollar Tree or Walmart. They instinctively like to dress up and put makeup on and put on dresses and stuff. There are parents who listen to this podcast who have young girls who want to do that kind of stuff. You're going to tell them, no, that's sexist, young lady. You put that makeup back. You know, I don't feel like, why are people getting so ugly and hateful over that, over what Joe did, or even if they decide to change it up? Are people going to come out and say it's a crime against, you know, feminism to portray a popular 80s character with makeup on? You know,
it's like I said, you know, you're never going to be able to please everybody. No matter what you do, you're going to have people coming out.
I get that, but I just feel like, you know what? Just like, people just need to back the hell off, man, on both sides.
No, it's true. That's on me.
You know?
Well, that was pretty much that. That was that. I was going to say, first, I don't know if I said hello to JSP. Hello to JSP in the chat room. But also, we're going to transition into talking about Hordak and then talk about Evelyn's plot with doing a little commentary. But I did want to mention one more thing. Speaking of rage, because you know how it is, but I always give everything a fair chance. We'll see how it is. This Wednesday is going to be issue one of the Masters of the Universe and Justice crossover comic. So for those who were waiting for it, wonder when it's coming this Wednesday. We'll see. Maybe it'll be a hit. Maybe it'll be a miss. But hell, hopefully it'll be something interesting.
No.
So that was gonna say, I'm gonna move right past that real quick. I'm gonna go.
I was gonna say, don't tell me you're buying that.
I'm not saying nothing. So let's talk.
You are. You're gonna show up next Sunday and just make me mad having to sit here and listen to you review the damn thing.
I'm like, well, do you guys check this out? But yes, I am gonna be buying issue one. All right. So let's
son
move on to.
Bitch.
Like, damn it! It's like I just lost Joe there. That's it. That's it. So,
well, we've gone down this hellhole one too many times, and you're gonna do it all again.
I'm a glutton,
you know,
for
and
punishment.
Only, I can only kind of get behind if I knew people were gonna be tuning in by the droves and watching it or listening to this because they wanted to hear about it and hear us tear it apart. But no, it's just.
Well, if you guys in the chat room didn't know and you were looking forward to it and you're wondering when it's coming out, it's this Wednesday, the Masters of the Universe Injustice crossover comic, issue one of our six-part series. So,
all right, people in the chat room right now, are you excited for Joe to bring this up on the next episode? I'm just curious to know, the people that are in that right now, are they behind hearing what Joe's review is for the He-Man and Justice crossover?
Well, we'll have to wait a second because, I mean, there's that 30-second delay. We'll see.
I know everybody. I want an answer from everybody who's in that chat. And well, be honest, I'm
Zen
not going to be mad at people who said yes.
Zen Brown said he would be interested in hearing what I have to say. Okay. We'll see if anybody else pops up. Because, again, like I said, this is a delay. We'll see if they're actually interested in hearing me talk about the Masters Universe and Injustice crossover comics. Some maybe never even heard it. Adam said Joe was the man, but that really wasn't answering if he wanted a yes or a no. But, well, we count one yes and one out of one comment. Hey, we're on a roll. So, Oh, wait. Aaron Voorhees. He said no. Hey, Aaron, remember? Remember Aaron? Right here? See this? No, so we got a yes, we got a no. It'll be mixed. I won't do a review, but I will have to mention
well, no,
it. But...
I obviously, you know, you come on here and review it next week. I'm just not looking forward to hearing how they're destroying He-Man again with, you know, making DC look like the top tier characters and downplaying He-Man and making him look like a bunch of idiots because all he did was watch 2000X. And
I'm just going to let you know, I will be honest, because like JSP in the chat room said, he said he'd like to see a review from me. And he says, and if I give it a green light, he'll look into it. But I will give you the absolute honest opinion, as everybody's known any of these comics I've talked about. If there was something I really didn't like, I said it. If there's something I thought was kind of cool, I said it as well. But no, I will give you an absolute.
Yeah, don't do what you did last time with the last crossover, where you're trying to be polypractical for the first 2 to 3 issues before it's like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't put up the charade. Can't continue with this charade of saying it'll get better. Just keep buying it.
Yeah, it kind of went quick at the first 2. I was kind of like, and then it just was like, yeah, never mind. But
first issue, you just do right off is this is bombed. It's sunk already. The battleship has sunk, and it's already at the bottom of the sea.
Well, let's go right into Hordak. Let's do a character discussion. You suggested Hordak, so why don't you start off with talking about the ruthless
leader?
Yeah,
I was kind of, after suggesting a joke, because I was like, have we discussed? I started second guessing myself later this evening because I really like for us to try and push to avoid replaying some of our character bias, even though we just did Stratos not too long ago. But I just like to hammer this because in case he does listen to this at some point, Axel Jimenez was supposed to join us for a Hordak discussion a while back. So I want to point this out to him. So Axel, if you hear this at any point, I still want you to join us to have another Hordak discussion or something like that. So if you people would love to hear Axel on the podcast, I need people to be vocal about it so we can get him on here and call him out, because he should have been on here a long time ago talking about Hordak, because he absolutely loves Hordak. Yes, Hordak, the leader of the evil horde, is, I'd say, universally loved just as much as Skeletor, I think in some cases probably even more so. I mean, where to start on Hordak, though? I will say, like, Hordak, I think for the most part, I'd say 99% of the time is always portrayed, aside from certain episodes of She-Ra, I think for the most part has been portrayed as a very, very serious, intelligent, respectable, and highly feared villain in He-Man and She-Ra. Altogether, from storybooks to mini comics to comic books to the cartoon, you know, he's definitely
the mini comics could make him look scarier at times. I'll admit that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the testament to the people who were, you know, I'm sure, I know to them it's just a job, but you know, for someone who's just doing it for just a job, they sure as hell made Hordak look quite threatening a lot. And it was so cool that, you know, God bless Mattel, because they, you know, when they were pushing the Horde, I mean, they gave them a solid push. They made everybody, well, aside from those dreadful mini-comics that the Horde was introduced in, like the Leech mini-comic in Montana. But Hordak got the best of all those mini-comics that came out. Of all the Horde mini-comics that we've gotten, Hordak's mini-comic was by far the best. I'm not going to repeat what I've said, you know, previous times, because we all know I love that one due to the artwork by Larry Houston. The story was great. But Hordak was given the best of all the mini comics, better than Grizzlors, better than Modulok, Multibot, Mosquitor, Dragstor. You know, he just got the best of all of them. And I remember as a kid too, in that particular mini comic, because that was my introduction to Hordak. I was more pro Skeletor. I thought Hordak was even more evil than Skeletor, and I wanted Skeletor to win that fight because I was Team Skeletor. I'm like, oh man, Hordak, man, he's mean. Like that's just how I looked at Hordak. And
so obviously, you had the figure too when you were a kid.
I had the figure, and I played with. I mean, I will. Here's a fun little backstory here. That year that I got Hordak, when I was at daycare, I was sitting in the floor playing with him, just Hordak by himself, just sitting in the floor playing with him. And one of the ladies at the daycare sort of came into the classroom I was in and told my teacher that I was supposed to have moved up to another class Like, I was no longer supposed to be in this class with this current age group. So I was pulled by this scary-looking lady with my Hordak figure, dragged down the hallway to another classroom, dropped in there, screaming and crying because I'm being pulled from this really nice lady that was my teacher and thrown in here these angry-ass old ladies who kept telling me to be quiet from crying so much. And I was left inside because I wouldn't stop crying for recess. I'm like, what the hell? I'm just sitting there playing with my Hordak figure and I'm being pulled just inside all the damn classroom. I will never, ever forget that day in my life. I was 3-4 years old, and that ugly-looking lady's name was Diane. I'll never forget it. Oh, man, I couldn't stand that woman in daycare for doing that crap to me. It was, God, I was traumatized. What? Just sitting on the floor, minding my own damn business.
Isn't that crazy that there's always an interesting story with Hordak? First, let me say hello to Christopher Dahlberg. Good to see you back in the chat room, brother. So he's here with us. Also, Charles Austin is in the chat room. So thank you for joining us.
We've got a good turnout here. Thanks, everybody, for taking time out of your schedule, wherever you may be and whatever time zone, to enjoy your chit-chat about Hordak there. But
For Hordak, he was one of the... From when, you know, you first got, you know, the members of the evil horde, or, you know, the ruthless, I mean, the horde, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so when you first got the main horde figures, I remember I couldn't find Hordak in the store. So I had everybody else, and I'm looking at the card back, and I could see, you know, like, you know, across cell art, no one, they're supposed to be Hordak, and I never could find them. And that's what led to the trade. That's what led to Joe's only dastardly thing he did when he was a kid.
Oh, wait, is this the one that you stole from the girl?
So I had my that was my childhood girlfriend. She had her figures and stuff, and she had a Hordak. And I remember I always, I'm sorry. She had her other figures. I didn't have Hordak, but she would come over and play. We would, like, you know, she'd have her figures, I'd have mine. But then my one buddy who collect G.I. Joe, he had a Hordak. And I wanted that badly. But he said he wanted He-Man's sister, She-Ra. And my girlfriend, she had all the She-Ra figures. So she came over and she had her stuff. I told her I was going to borrow her She-Ra just to play with He-Man, blah, blah, blah. She went back home. And the next day I went and I traded her She-Ra. And I got that Hordak. So I finally had a Hordak. And later that day, she asked me, she's like, Joe, she was like, can I get my She-Ra back? I was like, you didn't get her? I said, I put it in your screen door. I put it right there and closed the door. She's like, no, I didn't get her. I was like, oh my gosh, like somebody must have took it. And for all those years, I let her believe that somebody stole her She-Ra. So when I told that story, she just couldn't believe it. She's like, I can't believe it, Joe. She's like, you actually lied to me. She's like, you've never lied to me. And I then ordered her a brand new Minon card She-Ra. This was some years ago. I let that lie go on for a long time. But that's how desperate I was for Hordak. I stole her She-Ra to trade for Hordak. So there you go.
Willing to cause emotional abuse towards a woman to get a Hordak figure. Now, that's devotion to the evil horde, which is why Joe hides his face behind a mask. A horde mask at that.
It's all for shame. But that's how badly I wanted that figure. So, yes, when I finally had him in my possession, God, I love him. It was just, it did. He looked so different. I like the black and the gray, the design, little bits of red, and just a scary, weird face. It's like I couldn't really describe it. I knew it looked evil as hell. So I love the figure. I love seeing him in the comics and in the cartoon. It, like, upped, for me, kind of the coolness factor of Hordak. Because he then had this ability to transform into things. And while some people thought the gimmick might have been corny, I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was badass as a kid.
Yeah, he's turning into rockets and tanks and just weird things that has a wheel and arms that spin things around. There are so many things he turned into. And it was a different aspect. He was just this, it wasn't really just as much as a wizard in magic as you would imagine, like how Skeletor was. It's now like he's more tech-based.
He's pushing the technology. Yeah, and that's what I kind of like, that kind of battle of that Skeletor is continued on with the dark arts and black sorcery and stuff. Hordak is embracing the use of technology and just constantly pushing the boundaries of, like, more technology, more and more and more. Even though he clearly uses sorcery here and there, and he has Shadow Weaver and things like that. But even when he says that he created the Horde through Horde science, pushing technology, which I just took maybe use some dashes of black magic and sorcery, but he loves science, like technology. That's what Hordak is all about now. And I think it's just really cool that an evil sorcerer has just decided to push that off to the side. and realize
and embrace
technology can increase and enhance my empire. I think it's a pretty cool character aspect.
It is, because especially when you hear about Skeletor being his pupil, and you figure, okay, Skeletor is learning all the magic and everything he learned from Hordak, but then when you see Hordak now, it's like Hordak basically has left that behind. He's went on to something else. And, you know, it is, but it makes it unique, because especially if there would be encounters with Skeletor and Hordak, you know, it doesn't have to be magic against magic. It's kind of magic, and then there's the technological stuff with Hordak, like when Skeletor's blasted him, and then Hordak makes a shield appear. You know, there's some cool back and forths with the technology and the magic. I like that.
I do too. It that's why I've always felt like in the battles that would go on, I'd always felt that Skeletor would eventually defeat Hordak, because the magic would be in the end just slightly above superior to Hordak's technology. Not that Skeletor wouldn't get have the hell beat out of him left and right all over the place, but Skeletor would come out on top because of the constant use of magic. That's what I've always felt, because of what Hordak taught him, and then whatever Hordak taught him, he went on and got better and stronger and continued to push the boundaries of black magic and evil sorcery. Whereas Hordak has maintained it, obviously very good at it, but never kept it from being the focal point of his power. That's why I feel like Skeletor in the very end would defeat Hordak.
Which would have been fun, like you said, to see more of their battles, because we just got tastes of them. Like I think Hordak did a flamethrower thing at him, and I think Skeletor just used his hand to turn
yeah,
it to
just
ice.
Froze, yeah.
It's like, damn. Which, then let's fast forward. Let's just go into MYP, because talk about scrapping the technology idea. As cool as it was for his technological side in Filmation, you could see MYP's cartoon, they were leaving that all behind, and we were going to be introduced to probably one of the most badass evil wizards that's ever probably been on Eternia. And it sucks so bad, and we've said this on many occasions, that we didn't get to see Hordak and the Evil Horde in their entirety in a prime, you know, slot, you know, for a season 3, because it's just how wicked, just the faces he would make, especially like the King Grayskull coming at him with all his force, and how Hordak is just standing there, and it's like it's nothing. He can't even get close to him, and all he does is just let out a shriek that just blasts him back. I'm like, my God, I felt, it was, you know, I haven't got that feeling in years, but I remember when I seen Hordak appear in that episode.
Oh, God, man.
It was imposing. It was scary as hell. It's like, what the hell is going on? You know, look, go ahead. I loved him in MYP.
No,
as short-lived
as it was. That, God, it really was. I mean, as much as I've complained and griped about King Grayskull, that was an episode that me and my brother did go back and rewatch multiple times, but we would just fast forward through all the King Grayskull stuff, because that's all we were in. Both me and him were both really interested in seeing the portrayal of Hordak and the Horde. And I think, like, that portrayal is very close to, like, that's what I think of when I think of the Horde, the first few Horde mini comics that we got in the vintage toy line. That was that Hordak, you know, pushing sorcery, even though he had his Horde troopers, but he was all about magic and sorcery. And that's what he was using to be able to just stand there and just destroy Kallax just from, you know, something he's doing mentally. You know, I was like, that's Dark Arts Hordak. Like that's a Hordak I would love to see. And that's a Hordak I would love to see maintained for the most part. Like I'm cool with the whole technology, except what they did the DC comics where he looks like something out of the Matrix or something like that, or you know, or something like that. Hordak that's just strictly the evil sorcerer that just relies on magic and sorcery altogether. That's a Hordak I would love to see at the Fright Zone. Even using the traditional Fright Zone playset. Not necessarily like the big factory like Fright Zone, but the Fright Zone that's strictly a prison with a living dead tree and a beast monster that feeds off the people that wander in there. Like in that mini comic, you know, where Hordak is there waiting for the gates to open to Eternia, or like when he's playing chess with Mantana. Like they're just there hanging out at this like very pit of despair, so to speak. There's a Princess Bride nod to you there. That's something I would have liked to have seen if MYP had gone on, that the Horde would have resided somewhere in like that, like really playing up, I mean, the terror intention of the evil Horde being at the place at the Right Zone, where it's just strictly one giant trap. It's not a factory where, You've got scientists and troopers all over the place. I just like the simplicity that all it is terror. That if you wander out that way, you're going to get imprisoned by Grizzlor, or you're going to get captured by Leech and have your life energy drained out of you, zapped by Mantana. Or if you're dumb enough to wander and fall into the rock trap, you're going to be eaten alive.
With a rock monster.
By the rock monster, if you read the Bruce Timm book. Would imagine that the Horde would just, like Hordak himself would stand up there by the tree and watch somebody wander into that trap and watch the poor guy being chewed alive in front of it and just sit there casually and watch and enjoy every bit of it, because that's Hordak. Hordak is, I mean, he is the ultimate badass. I mean, I'm always going to pick Skeletor because I'm always a little bit more partial to the evil warriors, but the Horde by far is such a badass faction, and that's a big testament to Hordak. Having such a strong leader like Hordak makes the rest of the Horde look that much more badass.
Were accomplishing in the MYP1 when you've seen them having Leech and Grizzlor and Mantenna. You've seen they looked even more imposing in that episode as well. Again, as short-lived as it was. First, Doogie Forever and Kevin Sharp, thank you for joining us in the chat room. Good to see you.
Oh, there's good old Kevin. By the way, Kevin, we're talking about, well, hell, he ought to know because I promoted this episode using his artwork. So Kevin's a big Hordak fan too, and his artwork shows it too. So
yeah, and that was a good thing what you mentioned about the Fright Zone playset. I think if it was depicted more into a cartoon, if anything, that's what was cool about. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the outside look of the Fright Zone in the Filmation cartoon.
I love it. And I think it's great.
Yeah, it is. It is a great design, and inside with the traps that you have is great, but as for something that can be drawn into a cartoon to look frightening to get into, no pun intended with the Fright Zone, you think you are going through these obstacles to get even into the Fright Zones, because picture, you're figuring that cave that you try to get in with that monster, the dragon monster that comes out, whatever you want to call it, beast monster, that's probably still the entrance to get in. So you wonder, what could the inside of their Fright Zone, how bad could it be? But that's what's great, is the outside is already getting that accomplished. You're going through all this crap to even try to make it into it. So that's something that the playset accomplished, which you really couldn't get the vibe from in the cartoon. The cartoon is you're basically, damn, you're right in that Fright Zone, and it's a technological-based Fright Zone, obviously, inside with traps. But I think a mix of that, maybe to where they could have all this craziness on the outside of that nasty-looking playset. The inside, hell, just go ahead, do whatever you want, whether it's a mix of technology and magic and something just really mysterious in there. That could be kind of cool, especially if it was, animated in some degree. I think that could be great.
I had thought along the lines of what you had said about how you just described the Fright Zone, that the playset is giving us only what they could, but imagination-wise, that the Fright Zone goes deep into the cave. Like, we're only getting the exterior of this cave.
Yeah.
That if you get past the Beast Monster, to me, I envision it looking like Sakura's Castle in Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, where you had to get past the fire-breathing dragon, and you're going through these massive caves where you got stalactites and stalactites all over the place, and then get to the main massive doors to get into Sakura's Castle. And I mean, and of course Sakura is an evil magician, and that's what I'm thinking is what it's like if you get past the Beast Monster in the Fright Zone. It's just this massive cave with various traps and stuff like that, but it's all more magic based, like an evil sorcerer's castle inside there, and not necessarily a big factory where they're producing horde troopers and stuff. Because I really do like the magic Hordak. That's something I would love to see explored more and done more frequently. What we were introduced, essentially, like when the Horde was introduced, there's no Horde troopers in the Vintage line. It's strictly Hordak and the original three, and throwing Modulok here and there.
I'm glad you said it. Not to interrupt you, but I'm glad you mentioned Modulok. Picture Modulok could have been the new MYP, because you got to think, okay, they have the Horde troopers, so obviously there's some technology being used. Yeah. So who would be the one doing it? And if they did have it, within MYP, and like you said, the playset style of Fright Zone, but when you get inside, sure, there's a lot of fantasy and gritty and gnarly looking sorceress magic type stuff, but there is an area where the technology is, and maybe that's where Modulok could be the one, creating all the Horde troopers, creating drags.
And I would love for him to be the one who's responsible for Horde science. Like, he's the guy that creates the Horde troopers, Multibot, Mosquito, Dragstor. He in Hordak uses him to advance his armies because he realized how smart Modulok is. I mean, yeah, that's I love that idea. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Dang, we're writing a whole new season right here. Everybody take notes. Take notes. We're going to send it along.
Well, put me and Joe in charge of a new animated series of comic books. We will write the hell out of that, and we will give something to the fans. You know, do it for free. I don't want any money for it. I just want to make sure that this line is taken care of.
And that's what's great. We always spitball this. As we always say, Tyler and I, it's not like we're sitting there like, okay, let's talk about the Fright Zone and the aspects of it before we start. This, it always happens just so right on, you know, the spot. It's just, and it comes out so naturally, but that's what makes some of the things better. So we're creating stories within seconds. So could you imagine if we tried to sit down,
In fact, hell, me and Joe didn't even discuss what we were going to do till this morning, and all we said was Hordak, Evelyn's plot. That's it. That's all it was said. Nothing else. We don't sit and spitball this stuff a lot. I mean, we used to do it a lot before the podcast and things like that because we were like, man, it should be great if we had a podcast to talk about all these ideas on, but nobody wants to hear what we have to say.
But that's what I love. We just, it's always just so natural. It's just, it's raw. It's real. That's why we like it.
I put this idea, and I want to hammer it home again here. I like the idea of having the Horde slime being something that surrounds the Fright Zone. Like, it's a moat. Like, that's where Hordak would get the slime, is out of this moat. You know, that would surround...
I like that idea. The thing is, what's funny is I've told you this before, but it's in a different degree. I used to take that slime and I would put it in the moat of my Eternia playset. And I would have, like, you know, the Road Warriors, the E-Boys go up, and for whatever reason, if that, you know, Central Tower would hit one of them... I said evil warriors, heroic warriors. I said both.
Okay, so
warriors,
the heroic... like the Animal and Hawk from the Remco toy line going in there. Like, they're going to get eaten alive. I don't care how crazy they are in the ring.
Well, that's it. Remember, since I speak 100 miles an hour, it probably sounds like I said that, but I would have them going up there on the bridge, and then I'd have, like, the Central Tower line, like, smack them into the boat. So, oh, Jesus. So, man, so there, we just rambled everything about Hordak. But, yeah, if they made a new cartoon, yes, I would love to see the wizard aspect, that Fright Zone playset aspect, Ed and Modulok, damn.
And that's where I would have Modulok come in. Well, like, when you introduce him and he starts to tell Hordak about the advancements of technology, like, look, I'm a scientist. Let me, like, create new warriors for you, new troopers for you. And then Hordak sees just how great his army and ambition can grow. We keep pushing science, downplay the magic, and then Modulok just becomes, you know, the big Horde, you know, guru of creating all this new technology, building up the Fright Zone itself. You know, I mean, obviously he is, I would make Modulok second in command, so to speak, not in the battles, but someone that Hordak confides in 24/7, just like Shadow Weaver. Like, Shadow Weaver is his female companion that he confides in. Modulok is in charge of expansion and technology, you know, and then you got Mantana, Leech, and Grizzlor, or would it be like his top three, you know, henchmen in the field, like his generals that are commanding the troopers and the lower tier Horde members. Like, I just want Modulok to have a much higher spot in being solely responsible for getting Hordak to start dabbling in technology. God, that'd be great.
It would be, because it's funny you say that, because, like, even Zen Brown in the chat room was saying he'd like to believe that Modulok would have a hidden agenda. And then he, like, claims to be, you know, evil Horde, all, you know, like, he made it all by himself. So it's kind of, you know, cool.
I could easily see that, because once Modulok would realize, you know what, I'm creating this empire for this guy out of my brain, you know, and then gets the second head, because I always thought that was kind of cool. I liked Filmation's Modulok, where he's got one head and he wants to create a second head to enhance and double up his intelligence. So I almost feel like that would come out of his ambition of using the technology that he's been working on to create a second head, to create a second brain, to possibly usurp Hordak and take over, or take off and leave with what he knows and start his own group. At least not that he would completely break away, but he would be so respectable towards Hordak that after a while he starts thinking, I could probably start my own empire. I don't need Hordak for this. Yep. Hordak has gotten this great and ambitious and victorious with my brain, with my genius. Why am I taking commands? Mm-hmm. I should be the one giving them. God, I mean, we've got a third season story arc for man, I'm telling you, people.
I'm going to start making the next mask. I'm going to make my other mask. I'll have my two heads right here. Same there. It's going to get me all pumped up. So, Oh, Jesus. So, all right, man. Well, that's been an awesome discussion. See, that's the thing. Whenever we talk about something, whether we have said Hordak's discussion before, we always can spitball in so many different directions. That's what you love. It can be different and fresh and new every single time. So, all right. Well, man.
Man, I'm tired of being now, right.
Damn. So now we're going to go into a really good episode. And I like how I said, we sometimes give each other shit. There might be a part during this episode where I'll say something to Tyler. He's going to be like, you always have to say it, don't you, Joe? But
no, there will not be anything like that happening this episode. I'm telling you that right now, because if we do, Joe is only doing to try and get a rise out of me, because this is a perfect episode. I cannot stress the word perfect.
There's one part I am going to be an ass where I'm going to say it. You're like, okay, Joe, now you're grasping for straws. Or you might say, why'd you have to bring that up? But go ahead. You tell everybody what we're going to watch, how they do it, because there's new people in the chat room. So you can tell them what to do and about split screening or anything else.
1 second here, people. We are going to be doing commentary for Evil Lyn's plot, which is a personal favorite of mine and that I'm glad Joe has embraced. I don't know how well he liked it as a kid, but.
Oh, I always liked it. I did.
Let me, because I just have the audio here, or 1 second here, because I'm going to.
It's gonna, a, just a while you're.
We're going to be watching it on YouTube. That's where we're going to watch it, at least for this recording here. It's on James E. Talk's official YouTube channel, the He-Man YouTube channel. If you go there, you can find it. There will be ads, if unless you have YouTube Red, which I've got YouTube Red. I was going to say there might be a couple of other. If you just do a quick Google for it, you might be able to find it somewhere else other than that. But you will find it immediately on the official He-Man YouTube channel. So let me.
Yeah, so if you do split screen, however you dual screen, you know, on your computer, or whether it's through your iPad, iPod, tablets, anything, you'll have a way where you can listen to what we're saying and watch the episode at the same time. So, we'll, you know, do the commentary. And he'll tell you how to set it at the beginning, and we'll do the countdown and hit play. And, yeah, these are usually pretty fun. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many episodes, you know, we intend to cover them all, bad to worse. Great to good and back and forth. But Evelyn's plot is going to be tonight's episode. If you guys are ready, I'm going to count down from three. And when I say play, we will all hit play together. 3, 2, 1, play. Bing.
There we go. Straight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I as a kid, I felt this was kind of an okay episode. It wasn't until I was in my, I think my early 20s, that I really started paying extra attention to this episode and just realizing, God, there's so much more to this episode that I, as a kid, I just kind of took for granted. I didn't really see just how fine a writing job that Paul Dini did on this episode.
And a lot of cool information and things, and especially with He-Man's powers and stuff, you find out a lot about. Well, as we'll see when we get to that part, that's what I'd like. I always like finding out different stuff, or maybe stuff you took for granted. But as the years go by, and you love like finding out all the information, like, oh, so that's why He-Man has this kind of strength. Or, oh, He-Man can do this. You pick up stuff, you know. It's just it's what you like to do when you're loving, you know, any character.
And plus, to me, this is a perfect gateway episode to any new fan. If you want to show a fan a He-Man cartoon, like someone who's like, oh man, yeah, it's that silly YouTube sensation. No. Show them this episode, because this will give a new viewer the basics of what they need. We're going to get the basic Evil Wars with Merman, Beastman, Evil Lyn, Skeletor being the Lord of Destruction in this episode, He-Man being the quintessential hero along with Battle Cat, and we will actually get to see He-Man and Skeletor fight hand-to-hand in a volcanic cave.
Sure.
So it's giving all the essentials of what we expect out of a He-Man story all in this one episode here, and it's sorely overlooked.
It is.
And we're introduced to the Widgets.
Well, side character. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Some side characters. The Widgets, which we've seen in a few episodes as
and
well.
This is their first episode in the series. And I saw them first in Return of or Mystery of Many Faces. So I didn't quite get this was their first appearance until I got a little bit older. And there's Squinch, solely completely focused on duty. Is it yes. Can do here's having enough of it.
Yeah, when you see little characters like this, it's different from what you're normally seeing. We're always seeing the big musculars or the same kind of characters used over and over. So when you're seeing a lot of unique things like this, that as a kid would always catch your eye as well.
And I genuinely love the widgets that for characters. I love Skeletor, so menacing here.
And on Panther, which you, I always like,
yeah, seeing Panther, which is something you don't see a whole lot. So it was quite priceless. And then there they are in the Basher.
Yeah, now Beast I was gonna say Merman. you have Beastman and Merman. I don't know if you want to say Beastman is flying it, but you know you could say, yeah, Beastman's taking helm of the Basher that is flying. He's flying the Basher. So.
And
go ahead.
And I like the voices, like Linda Gary, Lou, and John Orwin all do such great jobs of, I mean, because these are the three main widgets that we will see. There's several widgets in the fortress, but these are the three that we will always be seen talking. They're the ones that are interacting with He-Man or Skeletor, whoever.
And they Laura's do such a always great job. Taking on poor, yeah, Laura's always taking it out on poor Squinch.
I mean, because she likes Squinch, but you know, she's not living up to, you know, her standards. Man, she doesn't hesitate to beat the hell out of him, as we will see later on this episode.
Exactly, here's a part as you just seen. Now you've seen Panther with Skeletor coming up to the Widget's Fortress. You just seen the Basher with Beastman and Merman, and in a second here, we're gonna see a pretty good move. Like, hey, Merman, Beastman, I got a good idea. How about we land this vehicle that can fly right into the widget's forest and let's climb up this wall? God, we just fly it in there. So there, that's my part that drove me nuts. I was like, yeah, the Basher, you're flying it. Why the hell didn't you just fly inside? But now
you do realize that this is a fortress inhabited by small people. We don't know the obviously it's a pretty good size.
They could have been. Not, he could have been like, in there.
I think it just, you know. It just plus, oh, just shut the hell up.
See, there you go. I told you that's my moment that I had to mess with Tyler. Just so he's like, damn it, Joe.
I'm not even going to entertain that boneheaded question or that logic.
See, Panther has the right idea.
I mean, look at this. We wouldn't have got this awesome scene of Beastman and Panther attacking Squinch and just scaring the hell out of him.
Exactly. But at least, like I said,
if we'd have done it Joe's way, we would have no great tension. And that's what Joe does. He kills tension.
Plus,
the idea that these guys are just taking their time and just terrorizing this small group of individuals, I think that just enhances just how what evil bastards these guys are.
And that is, and we get to see the bat, you know, the version of the bat signal for He-Man.
The He-Man signal. That was a nice touch.
I did like it.
A Batman fan,
right?
So I like seeing cool. Adam and Cringer. They're just out relaxing. You know, just getting away from the palace, getting away from the royal lifestyle, just, you know, taking it easy. This is one of my favorite moments of the entire series, is He-Man watching this farm boy in his slow toe, just trying to get up this massive hill, and just helping out someone in need right there on the spot, and decides, you know what, we're going to go on duty here. I get so excited watching this poor little slow toe, such a gentle-looking creature there.
Right, exactly. You see there we go, the chain broke right there.
I get
there
so excited during this. No time to rest now, cat. Boom! God, I
there you go.
I listen to this when I work out a lot because it's so exciting. This whole sequence here, I just next to the House Chakotay transformation. This is my favorite one of all of them. I have to say because I love the simplicity of it. It's portraying He-Man like a traditional superhero. So a young man is in trouble. We're gonna leap in and save the day here. I love it.
Exactly, which I did like. In which, you know, there's little things like you might take for granted, but in a way you could kind of think, that was interesting. Like right now, okay, he caught the car, you know, he's bringing it up, and then he does something that a lot of people just don't really, bam, right there. He merged the metal together. It's like, that's almost like an ability. It's like a lost ability nobody ever pays attention to. Like, well, what kind of other powers maybe did He-Man have?
Well, that's how strong He-Man is, that he could take broken chain and smash it together, and it's rebonded because he's so damn strong.
That's what's cool. It's like his powers can forge things right together. It's not like he just crushed it. It's like, boom, and you see a little spot. But and as you've seen right there, he's like, hey, well, maybe there could be something else going on. And bam, that's when Battle Cat notices the signal, and it's time to go help out the widgets. So you're right. He's already done one heroic thing. Now it's time to go save the widgets.
I just love the excitement of that and the music that's playing. And here Skeletor is just relishing the fact to get in there. And the first thing they do is they're going to go and just scare the hell out of the widgets with Beastman and Merman going in and just
big
Merman's going to just being bullies. And I used to get kind of scared of this shot here of Beastman running and charging at them and leaping at them here like that.
Yeah.
Because I just felt so scared for them. And then the shot of Skeletor that's coming up here where he looks down at
Candace. I love this look. I know what you're saying. Is this the only time we've seen this look right there?
Yes.
Is that
I'm 100% sure that's the only shot of Skeletor like that in the entire series.
It's so evil how he's looking down at those little guys, and that's what makes it just more fierce. So, and it's different. Like you said, it's eye-catching, especially when you've seen certain looks of all the characters so many times. That stands out.
And this here of Skeletor using Panther, just snapping his fingers, and Skeletor, I mean, Panther's going to go and attempt. I mean, that's vicious. That's Panther. And then for Battle Cat to come in and be the alpha male that he is and stepping on his tail.
Like, your ass ain't going nowhere. Off. I love that. Like, stay right
God,
there.
This is He-Man. You people who don't like him or make fun of him, you guys could go to hell, man. This is He-Man. Oh, my God. I love this episode so damn much.
It is. No, it is great. I was going to say the door to that place was open. He-Man could have walked in, but now he
shut
went
up,
on top
Joe.
Of it. Okay.
You can't make a more dramatic entrance than what He-Man and Battlecat just did right there.
Yep, and Beastman's whip.
He does it because He-Man is alpha.
Yep, and anytime you get to see Beast, when you get to see Beastman use his whip is always cool because you didn't see it much, did you?
No, not too often. Didn't occur much, so that was a treat.
Especially when you're using the toy with the whip so much, it's always cool to see that then in the cartoons. Like, hey, there he is, you know, with the whip. So, yeah. There you go, deflecting it like nothing. He's blasting anything. He-Man could do this all day. It ain't no.
And just showing how defiant He-Man is to Skeletor, just like anything you can pitch, I can hit back. I'm like, God, he's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that shot of Skeletor ducking. I was like, and just destroying the Basher right there. Just, I mean, we're implying what's going to, I mean, we're going to be, you know, foreshadowing what's coming. But I love the dialogue. I mean, Alan Oppenheimer does such a great job of selling, like, I can't stand you, He-Man, and one day I will destroy you. He just really sells the emotion.
And here, what you find out of all, I'm like, why was he here? What does it want? It's all about the Cordite. And when He-Man explains right that the sorceress fashioned his harness out of Cordite, which enhances his power, it's like, now we're finding out more of He-Man and why, what makes him even stronger. It's like, not only is he strong because of the power of Grayskull, but he has this Cordite, or this harness made out of Cordite, which makes him even more stronger. So I love just finding out, just, you know, trivia pieces, you know what I mean? Things that you like.
Yeah, I mean, and that was something that really stuck to me as a kid. Like, the Cordite and He-Man strength, I mean, that was something that resonated with me. Like, I caught that detail and hung on to that for a long time. And this sequence here, this is just a great bit of dialogue and storytelling of just, we're not enhancing the plot. We're just focusing on Skeletor, just showing, you know, I'm sick and tired of you guys not doing the job, what I pay you guys to do.
Yeah.
And just
seeing,
taking.
I love Evil Lyn with Panther just sitting there laughing and relishing and seeing what's happening to poor Beastman and Merman. That just was an added touch that they're just enjoying. Even Panther is laughing.
I think it's great. It's just this. I mean, I felt so sorry for Merman and Beastman as kids, and they get dropped down and fall right next to the red, the blood falls. And I used to wonder what those devices were that's bringing fire out. I just took it as like that's his way of unleashing anger, is fueling fire. I don't know. It just looks cool. I'm sure Paul Dini had a reason behind it when he wrote it. Maybe Grimbark can correct me on that one.
Yeah, he probably could. But we get to find out here, and it's called Evil Lyn's plot. And that's what I like about it, is this is another episode where Evil Lyn kind of shines in her whole plot that she's trying to do. She accomplishes it. That's what's great. It's, she didn't fail doing it, and then turn it into this, is it Nadira?
Yeah, Nadira.
It's just a genius movie. This is, like I said, that's her other abilities, as we've seen her do in the 87 movie as well. I like that when she would turn into these other women in these disguises. It just made her character even cooler.
I mean, I liked it because, you know, because Linda Yeager does such a great job of enhancing Eva Lynn's ability of becoming a very sweet, innocent woman that any man which exploits, squinches desire of, like, oh, look at this beautiful woman, and she wants my help. I'll gladly help her out. You know, it just makes it great, because as we're watching this and you're falling, you know, like, oh man, the widgets are going to buy into this hook, line, and sinker.
But you know, and I like to shows that check out little Squinch. You know, he's not scared. He's wanting to help that.
Oh no, I love his. Oh wait, well, hell, all of them. Like, as Laura shows up too to, you know, to help out, and you just appreciate their, you know, their courage for just, you know, they're going to save this innocent woman. They don't know who she is.
Right.
And that's why I've never liked it when people have like bashed the Widgets. You watch this episode, there's nothing to bash. They're not portrayed as obnoxious characters. They're extremely lovable, likable characters. And that's due to Paul Dini's writing and the voice acting of Lou, John, and Linda to make them such likable characters. And Skeletor relishing in this. And he's so evil.
He is. And Evil Link could accomplish something that she accomplished something that he couldn't. She wants to get in there. She wants to get that Cordite because Skeletor needs it. He wants that Hordite. I mean, he wants the Cordite so he can be just as strong as He-Man is. So I like it. Like I said, it just shows some good competent. It's a good, it's an entire great story. Like I said, from the start, as you see, all the way flowing through here.
And all, I mean, it's just great build up. Like, you don't feel like everything we're seeing here, it's really take time to play out the fact that the Widgets are very trustworthy characters, that they would want to help somebody. They don't know who this woman is, but they're actually going to leave her. Sure, we'll go help you out. We'll go look for your family. I just like how sincere and genuine these characters are. Like, I would love to hang out with the Widgets. You know, it's just such likable. And of course, Swinch, you know, look at him. And he's so smitten there. And then Laura looks pissed off. And the Filmation logo playing, the sound being played as she walks away there.
Right. He's he's lost his helmet, but yeah, it's he's like I said, he's a little horny dude right there. You know what he's doing? He's wanting to try to
get how could you not this be? Woman.
Exactly. Showing his little
look how big his teeth are in that shot.
Right. And see, under his mouth, like I said, even though he doesn't have lips, they're doing that curvature to at least express that he has a bottom lip. Something. Yeah. That's what I mean about lips. You know, if you're going to have lines, at least do something else. Because otherwise, that kind of crap would actually drive me insane if you didn't have a... Not like this.
Nope. Sorry. I love that. And I love how she just plays upon his... Oh, man, this girl, she's so pretty. You know, it's just... That's great animation there. And then the music kicks in as soon as that door opens up. And, you know, oh, my God. It's over. There it is. It's over.
And I love the voice. I love when
Freddy
you hear
Krueger,
her voice.
Man. Ah, at last. Oh, my God.
It is. The voice changes to the evil. Yep, you get the voice, and then you get to see this transformation.
Oh, man.
I always love that animation. It seems so fluid, and it reminds me
it's
almost
beautiful
like
beautiful animation. And this posing of her hands, that's wicked, like, dude.
I always thought of like a Disney type of cartoon almost, which when they animated some of the stuff, especially like when she's going to turn into her fireball form, you know, when she eventually leaves. Yeah. That kind of stuff just, I loved with the extra detail and effort they put into some of that animation. And like here.
And constantly putting all the sparkles on the cordite there.
Yeah, and look, this, it just sounds so fluid about it, but of course now she's just a big ball of fire, but still that's cool as heck. And there she goes right past all of them. She did what she had to do.
That makes me think of Conan the Barbarian, kind of like the witch that Conan's having sex with, and she turns into like this fireball because she just gets too excited and takes off. But that's just like Evelyn becoming a fireball. It just makes me think of the witch.
Well, at least it didn't make you think of anything in The Shining with a beautiful woman turning into that ugly thing.
Oh, God. That was horrible.
At least it wasn't that. And I like that you've seen that with He-Man and Battle Cat. They were trying to have a moment of just
taking it
relaxing.
Easy. Just, you know, and staying He-Man. Like, he's not back to Adam. He's just like, you know what? Let's take a rest here, Cat, and just take a quick nap here. You know, but yeah. It's like, there's no time to lose. That's what makes He-Man He-Man. Just how, like, let's go. You know, he's so alpha in this episode. I mean, he's alpha in every episode, but to me, this is really hammered home. And we're taking time here to show just how bad we feel for Squinch, and that, you know, Canada's like, this is ridiculous that we got broken in and Squinch let this lady come in and steal our most prized possession. Squinch like, we're going to take it back. I mean, it just shows you how good writing is, making these characters so lovable and likable. And this music. I always love this panning shot going down to Volcano Cave. And He-Man just watching Skeletor, not acting yet, just watching to see what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. All this is so cool. And Battle Cat watching quietly. Oh, this is so great. This is movie material here, people. What we're watching here.
And this is a good combination of, he knows this is the only place where he can melt down the Cordite, but obviously it's also a
And the shot here is Skeletor holding over the fire.
Yeah.
Epic as hell.
Which shows the good combination of, this is the fire that can melt it, but also Skeletor, obviously with his probably magic, is making it to fashion onto his harness in that same crossbones emblem that you know. So obviously
And I love that the minute He-Man starts talking, Evil-Lyn went, oh. Like, she realizes, like, He-Man's here to kick his ass.
Yeah, it's like that kind of bullshit.
Oh, God. And, of course, we get
And then Creighton, he's kind of
the
a little.
generic kind of rock monster we've seen multiple times, like in Quest with the sword that Joe loved to tear apart on my behalf.
I love doing that to you. And plus, that'd be a
I
cool
know you
ass
do.
figure too. Yeah,
I'll tear you up a
my
new
job.
one.
That's my job. But in which that would be a cool ass figure too if we got some of those big
I would
rock.
love to have the Warriors, these Rock Wars at least.
Okay, see, this is what I mean. This is kind of like his kind of there. I love it when he used his magic to bam. Now he's got it fashioned just like his crossbones there. And remember, he describes it as increasing his power like 100-fold. So that's what I mean. You got to picture He-Man. He's got the Cordite Vest, so he's even 100 times what the power of Grayskull has given him. That's like He-Man is a strong dude then. So I like these little things. But here, what's your line?
Oh, come face me, He-Man. Power against power is what I asked Alan Oppenheimer to write, and he refused to do it.
He dismissed you like you were just a nobody fan, like nothing. Like,
He really did when I asked him. That's my favorite line of dialogue that Skeletor ever said in the animated series, and he wouldn't do
he's
it.
like, I'm just gonna give you a hey, Tyler, here you go. Have a good one.
He just wrote power against power. That's all he wrote. And I had the shot of Skeletor holding his fire over the Cordite. That's what I had him autograph, and he wouldn't
Uh-oh.
do it.
Right here. I love that.
Oh,
I love that
yeah.
little kind of I have the
The
power pose.
mocking him. I like that shot of Skeletor. And then the shot of He-Man coming up, like, I'm going to kill you, dude.
It didn't even say like now I have the power too earlier. That's what I thought was kind of good or cool too. I think
Just them
Skeletor said
fighting
that,
over
didn't
the
he?
power sword. Like, and that's reminiscent of the original, of like how the toy line started in the beginning, fighting over the power sword.
And you know, there was a question I had. I don't know how many times it's been shown. I'm sure you would know this. But you noticed when He-Man punched that one stalactite or stalagmite that
Yeah.
was thrown at him, it was his regular punch, but then this weird kind of angle of his face, and it happens again. And I was like, did they show that in any other episodes? Because usually we're used to just seeing the power punch explosion. But watch it closely when he does it again. He does this punch, and you'll see his face slightly turned down with rocks in front of it. It's coming right here for the second time.
I
Watch.
think I know the shot you're talking about, I believe.
Yeah, because it happened earlier, now it's going to happen again. It's so distinct there. Like, you see, it's like he almost
Yeah,
looked
yeah.
shocked. Was that shown anywhere else besides this episode?
That I couldn't tell you.
Okay. And then what
But
does he tell
I feel
Skeletor
like a
about?
lot of this episode has got stuff we've never seen, like Skeletor without the crossbone chest plate. There
Yeah.
was just a bunch of stuff in this episode we don't see too often.
And how He-Man crushes that Cordite, which is so strong, like just absolutely nothing, just crushed it right off him, like it was just a regular normal piece of rock. Of course, I wonder why
Just
Evelyn didn't turn into a fireball, but go ahead.
such an epic showdown of
It
He-Man and
was.
Skeletor. Like, that's what you want to see. Like, anything that's what we ultimately want to see is He-Man and Skeletor duking out hand to hand.
No, it is. That is a great episode. I gave Tyler shit on a couple things, but that's me just having fun with them. But no, otherwise, this is just a fantastic episode because you're finding out and learning so much of the character of He-Man and Skeletor and seeing Evelyn accomplish something. You get these cool new, characters called the Widgets. It's you can't go wrong with this episode.
You get a lot of character dynamics in this episode. Like, you're getting to see a little bit more of what goes on in Snake Mountain, a little bit more explored of what He-Man just does in his spare time and things like that. So.
Oh, I wanted to hold up my. Why am I holding my hand up like I'm in school? I want to let you know, Grimbot in the chat room did say this is the only time that they did show that weird kind of turn after he punched. So it's
Gotcha.
just okay. Well, thank you for letting us know, Grimbot, because I always felt like something was going to happen, how he turned, but maybe it was like he was avoiding the rocks. But I just knew it was distinct. It kind of like boom, hit you in the face.
That's what I love about this episode. It's got so many memorable one shots in this episode. It just helps it stand out and just be that much more memorable in that regard. I mean, there's so much more going on in this episode. The story is great. I've teetered back and forth for a long time of saying, is this number one or Dragon's Gift? And I probably put Evelyn's plot just slightly above Dragon's Gift. Because I just feel like there's so many basic elements of what we want to see in a He-Man story that I just felt like, you know what? I probably would have to make it the top episode, Evelyn's plot. Just
Okay.
slightly above Dragon's Gift, just ever so slightly.
All right. Well, I know we're going to be eventually doing aren't we going to do commentary with Grimbot for one of those episodes coming up? I can't
No, we're
remember.
going to contact with him for Curse of the Spellstone.
Oh, Curse of the Spellstone. Okay. I was trying to
Yes.
remember which one that was, but okay. Well, Well, I think that almost pretty much wraps it up. And I don't know if you had any closing things you wanted to say, but first, I just wanted to thank everybody in the chat room for joining us. And I tried to acknowledge every one of you. I hope I did at least. And it was great with the new people showing up, the turnout. We love it, appreciate it. I hope you know, enjoyed this episode and join us next week. And I'll do your quote, Zen Brown, right after Tyler says what he has to say. I'll do your movie quote as well. But go ahead, Tyler. I'll pass it to you.
In terms of things to check out, I mean, I recommend check out Kevin Sharp's artwork, Axel Jimenez's artwork. Both those gentlemen are on Facebook. Check out Joe Amato's Customs. He is on Facebook. If you want a customized Quicksilver from Silverhawks and He-Man Classics form or something like that. Other than that, can't say I have anything else to recommend in that regard. Just keeping it simple.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like I said, and I will pick up the first issue of Masters of the Universe of Justice.
So there you go. There's something that if I tell people in advance that we will have, or one of us will have, a review of the Necronomicon, known as you know, He-Man versus Injustice by DC Comics. I can't wait to have my ears and eyes bleeding live.
Some of my Jason figures in the background have that Necronomicon, because remember he had that in Jason Goes to Hell. So I have the Necronomicon in back of me. But no, and I'm glad that you acknowledged Kevin Sharp and his artwork, because I figured after that one episode the last time, I was like, that's it. No more Kevin Sharp promotion. But no, he said thanks. He said thanks, guys, Tyler, Joe, everyone. So he enjoyed it as well. But
of course, I'm hoping Kevin repented for his sins for his blasphemous remarks against Movie Beast Man.
Yeah. All right. Well,
He did give me a written apology and $500, so therefore I did forgive him for that.
There you go. All right. Oh, and Delvis78 just joined us late. Thank you for popping up right at the end. But Delvis, we discussed Evil-Lyn's plot. It's a really good episode, so definitely check it out. But all right, let me give the quote from where was I just had it. Hold on. I'm scrolling up. I know it was Zen Brown. God, was it Zen Brown? It's terrible when I'm trying to scroll through these things and it seems like, okay, Zen Brown said, and that leads us to tonight's movie quote, won't you come, oh wait, maybe he was, never mind, that was a joke from Zen Brown. Zen Brown, yeah, gonna get you. Hold on, so let me go back down. I think Zentron has a movie quote. We found a bunch of dead guys floating in the laundry room. We found a bunch of dead guys floating in the laundry room.
I have no idea. I've never heard of such a quote, so that one I don't know.
Huh. Sean, yeah, I don't know that. Oh, no, there's, yeah, any questions? Sean, if you have a question you want to ask us before we, yeah, I forgot. If you guys had any questions you want to ask us, go ahead. And I see, well, from Sean, he says, why do you think Hordak helped to build Central Tower of Eternia? It was just,
I like that,
just
that whole thing, you know, I don't, I'm trying to remember if that was something that was just written in the classics storyline. But I also, there's part of me that wants to say that that was also written before the whole classic storyline. What I can remember is that there was just a temporary alliance between good and evil to build Central Tower, which between like
yeah,
the
I thought
Snake
it was
Man.
Mentioned in it was mentioned. I thought in the one of the vintage mini comics was it the Ultimate Bad? One of them, I swear, did mention. Oh, I feel so bad that I don't know this on the. Off the top of my head, I apologize for that. But hell, I mean, if he was part of that with back then, I mean, you're right. It's just to try to figure, here's the one that holds all the power. Then this is the one for the Snake Man. That's the one for the good guys. But I don't really know. God, he said vintage mini comic Enter Buzzsaw Hordak. Thank you, Sean. Gotta have
yeah,
read that one.
I remember reading somewhere in there that there was like a temporary alliance.
Yeah, because that's when he got the power of the buzzsaw. And also, yeah. Didn't he get like overpowered of goodness within yeah. Central Tower? And that's when he had the smiley face on the bat and he was all bubbles around his face. I know what you mean now, Sean. God, it took him saying that for me to remember the thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was just a cool little story arc that they, I don't know, maybe they just really didn't expand upon. But it's always interesting to know how old and ancient some of these characters are supposed to be, just knowing he was back then in the time of King Hiss and the Snake Man. And so it just kind of makes it kind of guess.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Different. It's a fun plot device, I think, to have this
yeah,
alliance. Yeah.
All right. Okay, and Ventron said that was from Ghost Ship. God, I might have seen that one time.
Hell, I've bad. Never even seen Ghost Ship, so I'm not going to beat myself up over that one.
Yeah, I seen it once, so I apologize. Adam Gabbert said, do you have a favorite toy vehicle you like so much from, you know, Vintage Masters, New Adventures, 2000X series, classics? Well, I'll just let you know right off real quick, Adam. I like none of the vehicles for 2000X. For some reason, they just didn't
Oh,
capture.
yeah.
They were a hot mess for me. But vehicle. Damn. See, that's when it starts going to things where it's more having fun than maybe thinking, okay, this is an iconic vehicle. This is one that people have seen in the cartoons and this and that. Because I'll tell you what, I played with Blaster Hawk like crazy. I bring this vehicle up, and so many people are like, what? And then I'll say Blaster Hawk, I'm like, oh, I kind of remember that, or I didn't have it. I just love the damn disc. I love targeting stuff, knocking things down. I had a really blast with, oh God, I just did that, a blast with Blaster Hawk. But as for the evil vehicles, I got an absolute kick out of Spider watching how creepy he would look when he'd move. It was the creepiest shit I could. I mean, I like the Land Shark going chomp, 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 but nothing beat the damn Spider. He was the creepiest looking bastard when he was in motion. So, yeah, I guess those are, I guess, my two, one for heroic, one for evil.
I mean, for me, I've always been really partial to Stridor and Night Stalker. I just thought the robotic horses as a kid were so impressionable to me. I mean, even though they're not like a dragon walker, they are steeds, so to speak, but I like them above any vehicle and even Panther and Battlecat. I just love Stridor and Night Stalker. I just love the two robotic horses so much, and it's been like that for a long. I like Battlecat and Panther. They are the essentials. Like I wouldn't want to see a canon that doesn't include those. But to me, my personal favorites are Stridor and Night Stalker.
Those are great
Absolutely
choices.
love those. Absolutely
So
love them.
they did, and they both definitely are different looking enough when you look at them. They're not just simple palette swaps. There's differences with them and what they have. So yeah, both. No, those were both great. Especially I like when I put Fisto and Jitsu after seeing how they're always represented. I like having them in their own,
Yeah.
vehicle steeds, if you will. But okay. Well, thank you for that one, Adam. Zentron said, as neither He-Man or She-Ra cartoons got a climax, if you had the chance to finish them, what would be your story to finish them? You know, it's, well, that's the thing. You know, I know that a lot of things nowadays, there's stories or story arcs, there's continuity, there's things that keep following up, up, up until there's an end. I guess because I always just wanted more and more, I never wanted the ending. Because here, think of that. For MYP, we knew what we were supposed to get. And since it had the continuity, so knowing we didn't get Hordak and that She-Ra never popped up or whatever else they had planned, it pissed you off thinking, oh God, we could have got that. Filmation never left you with this continuity. It was just every week you tuned into a new episode of your favorite, heroes and evil warriors just doing battle. Same thing when you'd read a comic. It's like usually every month it was different. But I know nowadays there's more of continuity issues and people like that and the story arcs, but I guess I don't have something that I'd finish it up with because I never wanted it to end. I guess I don't know, say that's the kid in me, but I never wanted an ending to it because I never expected one. MYP, we were expecting it, so I understand what I wanted in the end. But no, I just never, I don't know. I can't even envision it because I never wanted it to end. It's tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think, me personally, that it would be a battle that would never end. It would just, like in comic books, a lot of villains, you just would want it to keep going on and on. Maybe in the spinoff story, like what would happen if He-Man actually did officially defeat Skeletor. I mean, I think it would work in a movie or something like that. But as for like an animated series, I would like to have a lot of big epic sword fights between He-Man and Skeletor, and or He-Man and Hordak, or He-Man and King Hiss, or She-Ra and Hordak, or whatever. But not to have any of the villains officially like destroyed or anything like that,
No.
or like they're destroyed and then bring them right back just for like the shock value or something like that. I would just love it to continue to keep going. Ultimately, with He-Man winning, Skeletor defeating Hordak, and kind of rising above the Horde and the statement as being like the top leader, top faction in the end. But I'd like to think of the Horde changing up and going to I don't know I that's me. I would just love I don't really don't need to necessarily like a very
Yeah.
specific end, at least an animated series, because I wouldn't want it to be so finite,
Yeah.
you know, because then I still would love to see the whole Hero Son of He-Man storyline and Skeletor being brought back for that. I wouldn't want Skeletor killed. I would want him and Hordak and King Hiss to still be around, like vanquished and defeated, but they all come back. They resurrect their empires and their factions and start wreaking havoc again for for King Adam to be dealing with that and raising his son. I just feel like I would not want any of the big factions to die off. I would want the stories to continue on.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that answer. So, all right. Well, thank you for that, Zentron. Appreciate that. JSP said, what was the best Filmation battle between He-Man and Skeletor? See, now that, for me, I'm not going to know every single one, because I know Tyler will know every single one. Like, we've seen them just battle in Evil Lynn's plot. But then we also seen the one episode where I was telling you in Grimbot, where they were at least sword clashing, which was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
We seen He-Man where he was almost getting shoved or pushed out of the Basher, I think, in that one episode, and the wind's flapping, and it looks like he's going to get pushed to his death.
And that was in the Collector and Colossal Awakes.
Oh, it was the Collector. Okay, thank you. See, I screwed up my vehicles. There's Joe. But, no, I don't know. I can't honestly think of one of their most, or my opinion, the epic battle, because I don't know every single episode. Tyler could probably quote every damn
in terms
battle.
Of animated series, I think that was the best fight, because it lasts a little longer than most of the fights. Most of the other fights we get are short-lived, where He-Man will smack away the Havoc Staff or smack away Skeletor's sword, you know, but this is them actually duking it out, going back and forth. In a 22-minute cartoon, you're only going to get so much. I think of all the fights, that was the best.
And which one did you say? Oh, Evelyn's Plot.
It's the longest fight.
Yeah, because even the one when Skeletor became giant-sized, that didn't last long either. I mean, that wasn't...
No, and that was as epic as that was in the Dragon Invasion. It looked really awesome. And to have them on that outer bridge... right next to the Blood Falls. I mean, that's where I would love to see a big sword fight take place. And Ax will do one of that myself.
There you go. And his hand, though, I always felt like Skeletor's hand looked backwards or something when he was grabbing He-Man. Something looked weird about the way
they're using the stock animation, or it's the same thing as the Ice Hacker grabbing a hold of He-Man in the Dragon's Gift. Like, it's supposed to, they're using that same animation, because I thought that too as a kid. But it's the exact same animation as when the Ice Hacker grabs a hold of He-Man's wrist and He-Man goes down. It's the same animation, just with Skeletor put over that. Why it looks a little odd, because it's...
It used to drive me nuts. I'm glad you
The Dragon Invasion came before the Dragon's Gift, though, in terms of, like, production-wise, so...
Either way, the hand just used to drive
It does look odd. Yes, it does.
But thanks for at least pointing out and explaining to me. Also want to say, Delvis78, along with Sean, said that, you know, they both got a kick out of the Road Ripper. Like Delvis said, Road Ripper for life. Sean said Road Ripper was super fun. His got ran over and somehow survived. He said quality toy. It's like, yeah, you bet your ass. Those He-Man figures, everything can take a beating, and it seemed like they wouldn't get messed up. Kevin Sharp said Dragon Walker owns your ass. He says
Dragon Walker. Walker, that is a badass vehicle. It's a kick-ass vehicle.
You know why I remember that so vividly is I remember taking it to show and tell. We had our show and tell day, and we all got to bring in something. It was like, I'm going to bring in the Dragon Walker. And even though I know, like, ching, ching, slow, or however it went, it was still so cool. I used to be so fascinated of trying to create terrain for it to go around. So, yeah, I'm with you, Kevin. Dragon Walker was a cool-ass thing. So
yeah, it was badass.
All right, well, we tried to get to as many as we could, guys. We're going to have to be wrapping this up. But again,
coming up, too, where we just devote all to the listeners. Like, everybody that's in the chat room or something, we'll just sit and answer questions for an hour, hour and a half or something like that. We'll have to do that relatively soon.
Definitely do that. So, no, it'd be great. So, yeah, it's been great. I loved all the questions and just the interaction and everything. But, okay, well, yeah, I don't have anything really else to close with, but just thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. And, yeah, you can always, you know, like, subscribe, share, ring the bell right down there so you always get notified when we're going to do an episode. It's always usually every Sunday at 9 p.m. Sometimes it might change. So that's why clicking that little bell down there, it'll give you a notification in case we might go an hour early or on a different day. But we should try to keep you guys updated. So, all right. Well, that was great, guys, and we enjoyed it. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I found them vain, greedy, warlike, untruthful, and quite ugly.
I'm hoping somebody in the chat room gets this.
You know what? I will give a clue. This is not a movie. It's an episode of He-Man.
Oh, God, then isn't that terrible? I was going to say, hope it wasn't something we just watched. But you said I found them vain, greedy, and what did you say again?
I found them vain, greedy, warlike, untruthful, and quite ugly.
My God, you said this is a master's. Oh, Jesus. Hey, guys, remember, I don't know all the quotes. And sometimes anybody comes to cartoon, I won't know. When Tyler says it, he's going to make me look absolutely stupid. But I'm going to
Oh,
see
yeah,
if
you got it written all over your face.
Delva 78 said, my in-laws? That's pretty cold. God. Wow. Well, that's, man, I guess he just hit his in-laws pretty bad right there. But Sean said, he says he knows it's an episode of He-Man. He said from maybe
Well,
the
yes, because I
2000.
told you it was an episode of
Oh,
He-Man.
Jesus. Well, never mind. Is it Dragon's Gift since Grimbot just said
Yes.
Granomir?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he said Granomir. Yeah, I just remembered. Okay. Thanks for making me look dumb, Grimbot. I really appreciate it. All right. So, well, it was good, guys. We'll see you next
See
time.
you guys next week.
All right.